And we'll look at that. A new day, Isaiah 43, verse 18. This first day of the first Sunday of the new year and the first day of the week. Let's stand together in the reading and honoring of God's word. A new day, Isaiah 43 and verse 18. The Bible tells us, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, whenever God says behold, he really is trying to get your attention. I have a habit of saying, listen to me or listen to this when I'm preaching. And it's God's way of saying, listen to this. This, like, everything in God's word is good, but he really wants you to get this. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hide me behind your cross. Allow me to preach only thus saith the Lord. Allow the hearers today not to be hearers only, but doers also, not deceiving their own selves. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Isaiah is talking, and it's a set of verses and a set of chapters, really beginning in chapter 40. Those of you that were here for the study of Isaiah, a little segue, on Wednesday night, starting this Wednesday, we'll begin to study the book of Daniel out together. Tonight we'll be back in the book of Genesis going through that. But if you're interested in end times and prophecy and those things, eventually Daniel really gets to all those things. And so you'll not want to miss Wednesday nights and Wednesday afternoons or Wednesday at noon as we'll be looking through the book of Daniel. But Isaiah here, if you remember when we studied Isaiah, 39 chapters of Isaiah really deal with Old Testament things. It really deals with the past. In the book of Isaiah, there's 66 books of the Bible, and they are cut in the middle, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, and Isaiah is sectioned off like that. And so we've just got into the section where Isaiah has prophesied mostly to the southern kingdom of Judah that, hey, Babylon's going to come. The Assyrians haven't even come and taken the northern kingdom, but he's saying Babylon's going to come and take Jerusalem away and do all these things. And Babylon's not even a world power yet. And then he's also talking about the destruction of Babylon. God goes way far in their future. But here we see that they've stopped really talking about the old things and that God is starting to talk about new things. And he's talking about new things that will come. We now know these things to be fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. But we can still look and deduce from these chapters that these old things, what's God talking to Israel about? He's saying you're going to be exiled. He's talking about all the sin that Israel is in. He's talking about all the things that Israel has done wrong, the complete failures of Israel's past. If I had a Bible reader and you knew your Old Testament at all, you know that Israel were complete failures in everything that God asked them to do. You say everything? Everything that God asked them to do. They didn't get the priesthood right. They didn't do the intermarrying that they weren't supposed to do intermarrying. They were intermarrying. They didn't get anything right. They weren't seeking God. They would turn away and go after strange gods and strange wizards and witches and familiar spirits and all these different things. They were doing everything really under the tyranny of Satan. Satan really, if you read the Old Testament, Satan really ruled God's people. In that period of time, they really were after all the wrong things. And the church can sometimes become very much the same way. We can be under Satan's tyranny and we might not even know it. The Bible tells us, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, that sometimes, even as Christians, we can allow Satan to have complete royal and reign over our lives. There's a lot of things I could tell you that Christians ought not do, but I'm not here to beat you down this morning. What I'm here to do is lift you up and encourage you this first Sunday of the year, and I'll save the rest of the year to beat you down. But today, we want to be encouraging. Usually, I save that for Wednesday, but today, this is positive, encouraging, be love. Now, we look here in our Bible, and we see that all that Israel has done wrong, all the things that they have done, God gives us this wonderful section here. And he's writing to Israel, but we know that all scripture is given for inspiration, is all profitable, right? We know that the whole counsel of God, God gives it to all of us. But he says here in verse 18, remember ye not the former things. Well, if I was an Israelite, I would love to hear that. Because, I mean, we've just messed up so bad. We've done so many things wrong that, you know... Isaiah, for the first part of chapters, or verses 1, chapters 1 through 39, a lot of this and a lot of the Old Testament prophets were a lot like a wife. They just keep bringing up old stuff. You know what I'm talking about? I know, fellas, don't be so soft that you didn't cheer that. When all the ladies are like, oh, and you guys just sat there and looked because you don't want to get in trouble. Stop being soft. I said it's going to be encouraging. We're going to get there. It'll be okay. We'll build them back up. But you know what? They're not, here, ladies, listen. But they're not wrong, because old things hurt us. Old past things come up. It doesn't take very much for something to come on TV or a show or something comes up that you've been in some situation that was similar or something happens to somebody else and it's all fresh and new for you. And that's a very hard thing to just get over. God gave us a memory. God gave us the ability to recall. And sometimes we recall what we don't want to recall. Sometimes things just pop into your head that you don't want to think about. Some scar, some hurt, some emotional distress. You didn't really want it to pop up, something you did wrong, but it just comes up or it gets thrown in your face. It doesn't even have to be another person that throws it in your face. I believe Satan uses those things to put in your face because Satan doesn't know the future, but he certainly knows our past, and I believe he also knows our present. So he'll use those things to try to pop up. Satan's never going to encourage you, and so all he can do is come to try to, what the Bible say, to steal your joy. One of the greatest tools Satan has to steal our joy is our memory. He uses ourself against ourself. He uses our mind against us to entrap us, to ensnare us in this. Because when we feel down on ourselves, when we feel troubled inside of ourselves, it's going to be very hard for us to go into the world and be a light or to be salt, because we feel unworthy. We feel dirty. We feel depraved. I think that it's kind of this way. When you look at this in the Bible, remember you not the former things. Well, that's why I like Romans 5:8. This is the new thing that God showed me. It may not be new to you, but God gave it new to me at the end of the year. It says, I always like to talk about yet. That means at the very same time. But it says, while we were. It's past tense. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So at the same time that we were sinners, Jesus died for us, because the Bible says Jesus died for the ungodly. But the while we were reminds me that I'm not who I used to be, that I'm now a saved child of God, and that sin has been washed away, and I have the opportunity to serve him. I don't have to live like I used to live. And not only that, I don't have to remember the things that I've done, because at the day you got saved, Jesus forgot about everything that you did after your salvation. And even when you are saved and you still sin, Jesus still forgets that, because the washing of regeneration has taken place. And even though we hold it against ourselves, even while we hold it in our account, God has completely paid the debt through his son Jesus Christ, and he has completely forgiven and forgotten all things that you do. Now, Paul says, don't take that as the liberty or a license to sin. He says, take that as an opportunity to say, thank you, God, that you no longer hold those were while we were, and say to God, because you are so good, now I want to go forward without those things holding me down. I personally have failed so many times. I am want to allow old sin and old faults and failures to pop up and to creep into my mind and say, well, you can't do that, or you shouldn't say that, or you shouldn't preach this, because you not only feel like a hypocrite, but you don't feel worthy. From time to time, I allow these things to come to my mind, and I consider the things of old way too much. But in the new year, I really want to not remember the former things. All the bad stuff, all the hard stuff that's going on in my life. Listen, I have so many physical scars on my body. I mean, you guys have heard of all my broken bones, but I was just all boy growing up. And so, you know, I can name between my eyes here, I have a scar. My skin is lighter there. And that is from chasing girls when I was 5. Dove headfirst into some gravel. And, you know, I don't know if I got the girl or not. I don't remember, but it wasn't worth it. I have a scar on my lip where I got stitches in my lip playing basketball, ran into the back of a guy's head. He stopped really quickly and my tooth went through, and I have a scar here on my lip. I have a scar right here from where I had hip surgery when I was 14 that's never going to go away. I have a scar on my right leg from an incident when I worked at the sheriff's office in the jail, and an inmate in a tussle with an inmate and something sharp and a scar there that's never going away. I have curling iron burn here from when my sister's curling iron was out and I just wanted to see if it was hot. Not very smart, and so all the black girls in here understand what I'm talking about, but there's something called a hot comb. It makes no sense. I don't know if white people use it or not, but I would imagine it would fry your hair. But you really take a metal comb and sit it on the oven and get it hot, like on the oven, and you get this thing hot, and you take an oven mitt and comb your hair out to straighten this thing. And again, not very smart. I just wanted to see if it was hot. So I have another burn on this arm because I just wanted to see if it was hot. I don't know why I used my arms in such fashion, but I guess maybe because I knew I'd be able to cover it up someday. The whole house smelled like flesh, you know. I just wanted to see. I have another scar on my knee from where I broke my kneecap, and right here you can see a scar, and I have all these scars, but a lot of people have emotional scars. We all have some emotional scars, but when I was thinking about this, and, you know, I remember all these scars and where they came from, but in 2026, the only scars I want to remember are the nail-scarred hands and feet of Jesus. Because those are the only ones that matter. Because all the scars that I currently have on me go away someday when I get a new body. And even if they don't go away, then that which we call imperfect, Jesus has called perfect. You see in number 2 here, to relinquish the remembrance. In verse 18, it says, neither consider the things of old. Neither consider the things of old. Remember, Israel, all the old things you've done. All the times you turned your back against me, all the time you said, we don't want you to be our king, we want an earthly king, all those things. He says, now I'm going to do something and you can forget about all that stuff. Get rid of all those old things. Relinquish remembrance. You say, how can I do that? I believe this, it's something that we have to work at. It's not going to be just easy to stop remembering old things that have happened in your life, old hurts, old scars, but can I also remind you and tell you this? I think this is really valuable for us to look for into the new year. We are a people who are so trapped in our pasts that we can't live for our present. This isn't to discourage you again, but this is a reality check. We are not getting back what we once had. I hear people say all the time, I miss the good old days. People say, well, I miss when my children were this age. I miss when the church was like this. I suppose that's not wrong, but it seems to be despised in the new day that God has given you. God presently is telling you that what you have right now is better than what you used to have. But here's why. Because what you used to have, you're not getting back anyway. I'm not going to get my kids to be 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 years old again. It isn't coming back. So you know what I better do? Enjoy where they're at right now. Listen, God says enjoy the wife of your youth, but guess what? Miss Chandra and I aren't getting any younger, so I better enjoy her as she is right now. Hey, guess what? You guys make fun of me and laugh at me, and I say when I get to heaven, I'm going to have an afro and wear the pick in it like the brothers down the road. But it's not coming back here on earth. Save for a Turkish implant that I don't have money for. So you know what I better do? Enjoy the Gillette Mach 3 and the shine and the turtle wax of my head today. Hey, guess what? Brother Logan and I were talking yesterday in our trustee and deacon meeting. There's days, not often, I never miss setting up. But there's days where I miss the simplicity of having 10 or 15 people in the church and being able to know everybody's name. And I was going through and like reciting all the kids' birthdays in the nursery today. I still try to memorize them the best I can for certain reasons. And there was a day where I could go to every birthday party. I could remember everybody's name. I knew everybody's address. And that day is long past. And some days I miss that. But then I think to myself, well, that's really ridiculous because that's when the church was 10 or 15 people. And now look what God has done. Today is better than, I don't despise being there at the school, but I'm sure glad that there's only be about 7 of you that I would know if it wasn't for us having a new day. Another day is another day closer to meeting Jesus. So you know what's really ridiculous for Christians? Why sing, O glorious day, or what a day that will be if you're not happy about the day you're in? If you keep looking back and you say, well, I remember when we used to do this, and I remember, cool, but God says, don't even consider those things. Don't even pay attention to that because it's not coming back. You're not getting it back. Oh, I remember when I had this relationship and everything was good. I remember. It's gone. So what we have power over, what we have control over is how we live our life today and not looking back. And I would say this to you. I don't even look forward to tomorrow because tomorrow is not promised. I want to be very present and intentional in 2026 that I am intentionally living each and every single day to the fullest of my capabilities, to the fullest of the glory of God that I can possibly give. Psalm 118:24, we even sing a song, teach the kids, but then we think about the old times. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But then we as Christians say, oh, I just wish I could hold my little baby again when they were one. Now, mind you, I'm starting to understand a little bit more. I'm not a grandparent, but I'm starting to understand that a little bit. It's like looking at your child smaller, but they get to go home. You know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to understand it a little bit more. But what I will say to you is this. As I get closer to that day, you know, oh, I can still remember when my kids were little. I still had good times. It's not that I don't have good memories of it, but can I just be honest with you? I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to change diapers no more. All my kids are potty trained. I mean, the youngest was 14. I hope so. I don't want to go back to sippy cups, and I don't want to go back to trying to get them to take naps. Now I want them to leave me alone so I can take a nap. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different situation. I don't want to go back to car seats. I see y'all out there wrestling with them car seats. It'd be -2 degrees out there. You try to fasten this one and fasten this one. I had 4 of them in this minivan. I'm trying to go. I'm 6'4". Back then, I was almost 300 pounds, and I'm trying to get all in the back and fasten the boys. I'm like, y'all are 4 and 5. Let's just get rid of the car seats. They'll be fine. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm doing all this. I don't miss those days. Now they drive me around. I don't miss those things. I know some of you are in that, but listen, I'm not saying that you should despise those things. Enjoy it, because every stage, every step is a blessing. But I'm not going to spend my time, wasting my time on something that's not coming back. Guess what? That old relationship you had, it ain't coming back. That old job that you love that you didn't have anymore, it ain't coming back. That, oh man, holiday season, you know what it is. That old suit that you used to be able to fit, nah, go on, throw it away, baby. It ain't coming back. Amen. They say, I kept a few in the back because, I, you know, in the new year, I'm going to lose a little weight and I'm going to get back. No, you're not. No, you're not. Just throw it away. I do it in reverse now. I keep a couple of big suits so when I have the holidays that I can fit in one. You know what I mean? This is one of my big suits, so I make sure I fit in it. No, quit remembering that stuff. It's like, oh, I've heard this. Oh, I remember back in 87, I was in the best shape of my life. You're 75. You're just not going to get back there no more. Like, you know what? I'm proud of my wrinkles. I'm proud of my scars because they represent something. My grandpa always used to say to me, hey, listen, people say, Mr. Donnie, how do you feel about getting old? He says, it sure beats dying young. Yeah. I think that we ought to really pay attention to the day that we have and rejoice and be glad in it. Titus tells us in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It literally means looking for the day that we will be with Jesus Christ. Well, if I don't have tomorrow and the next day, then that day isn't coming anytime sooner. If I'm living in the past, you know, I know that some of you are too young. Maybe it's popular enough that you know, but like, I always hated that movie Back to the Future. And now I look back at it, and like I was living in those times, and you know, in the 80s, and like I look back and I'm like, you know, all this other stuff. I don't want to go into the future, and I don't want to go to the past either. You know, I've always liked Quantum Leap. I don't want to Quantum Leap into 1950. For what? I don't want to Quantum Leap into 87. Like, I know some of you, I miss the days. You really miss cassette tapes and have to take a pencil and wind that thing back up in there? You really miss that? What's wrong with you sickos? I don't miss VCR tapes and the young people, Betamax, I don't miss that. I don't miss CDs. Anybody had like a 6-disc changer in their car? they say, well, you know, it's so dangerous, these kids today, man, I have 6 discs in there. And like, and they wasn't Christian back then, you know what I'm talking about? I had everything in there, and they spin around, they're like, put this one on. And then you have the thing in the visor where all your CDs is in there and stuff like that, and you taking it out. Like, I don't miss any of that nonsense. Like, you know what's so, you know what I heard is like passe and old school now? Like, you know, 10 years ago was like, hand me the aux jack. Well, now you just Bluetooth that thing in. Like, I don't miss any of these cords and all this nonsense that we have to, like, I'm glad for a new day. I thank God that he's done a new work. But then number 3, we need to renew reality. Look at verse 19. Renew reality. Here's your reality check. Check up for your neck up in 2026. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You know what God's saying? He's saying, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. Whether the children of Israel worked for it or liked it or not, Babylon was going to take them into exile, but God was always going to free them. God was always going to rebuild the temple. God was always going to send his son. Nobody's ever been able to stop his son from coming, even though Satan has tried. Do you know how many times in the Bible, I don't know the number, but I can recount some situations. You know how many times Satan tried to kill the line to Jesus Christ? He tried to kill it from the very beginning. Adam and Eve have 2 sons. Cain kills Abel, who would have been the righteous line. And from that, Seth is born. And Eve says, God has given me a man. He's replaced the first one. And now that line of Seth goes all the way to Jesus Christ. We know more famously, maybe even more than that, that David, the line that would lead to Jesus, that David has all these sons who come against him, Absalom and Adonijah. Solomon has his own issues. We saw in our genealogies as we studied Christmas time that we saw that that Jesus had to come from a different son of David because of the line and the lineage, because Jeconiah would be cut off, and Satan tried to cut him off there. He tried to cut him off earlier than that. He tried to have Abram kill Isaac. You think that God ordained that, and he did. God did it. But Abram went up there, and Isaac wasn't really sure, and that would have been, Satan would have been all for Isaac being cut off at that time. He tried to disturb the line of Jesus in the day of Jesus' birth, of his nativity, when Herod tried to come and kill all those babies. He tried to destroy the line of Christ, and he couldn't. If Satan could destroy the line of Christ, he would have. But God always knew that he would preserve his lineage, and that he would lead us to this place, and that, hey, something new will spring forth, that it's a new day. And there's nothing Satan can do about that. But let me just remind you, here's the reality check. God's also saying here that it shall spring forth, that what I've already done, I'm going to do something even greater than that. Watch this. Go back in the verse, Isaiah 43, 16 and 17. God is speaking of the Red Sea here. It says, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, from Exodus 14, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, or in horse, and the army and the power, they shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as a tow. God says, you know what? All through the Old Testament, God just keeps reminding the children of Israel, remember what I did for you at the Red Sea? Remember what I did for you at the Red Sea? Remember what I did for you at the Red Sea? But now, in verses 18 and 19, God says, you can stop remembering that. Watch. We're not Jewish, so I can say this. This is why we don't celebrate Passover. We celebrate Easter. You want to know why? Because Christ's resurrection is greater than the Red Sea's parting. Because Christ's resurrection is greater than the day that death skipped over Egypt, that passed over Egypt. That Christ's resurrection is the greatest miracle that's ever happened or ever will take place. And so he says, you can stop even remembering the former things. You don't have to consider the things of old. You don't even have to consider or remember the Old Testament story of the Red Sea. Not that it's going away. He's talking to the Israelites. You don't have to remember that, because I'm going to do something that's even better than that. Hey, you know what? In the New Testament, Jesus says, it's kind of a cute story. Nathanael is told, hey, come here. Philip goes, and he's like, let's go to Bethesda. We're coming from Bethesda, and we found the one who's the Messiah. Come and see him. He's like, where's he from? He's come out of Galilee. And Nathanael's like, can any good thing come out of Galilee? He's like, come and see for yourself. And as he comes, Jesus is like, here's an Israelite in whom there is no guile. He's like, he calls him by his name. He's like, how'd you know my name? He's like, hey, I saw you stand by that fig tree before Philip even came to call your name. And he's like, you are the Christ, my Lord and God. And Jesus says this, you think that that's cool because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? Greater things than these. Hey, listen. In my life, God did some incredible things in 2025, but I still believe God that there's greater things ahead. I still believe God that there's greater things that I haven't even seen. Jesus says you will see him, but you know what I know Nathaniel saw? He saw Jesus walk on water after that. He saw Jesus take the water and turn it into wine. Nathaniel got to see Jesus feed 5,000 with just a little bit of food. He got to see the apostles, all the apostles got to see Jesus raised up into heaven. And all I'm saying to you is we'll miss the new thing if we keep our mind focused on the old thing. Oh, it was so good then when we had, these were the good times. But God says, but I got better times. And you know what else I realize? We will always struggle to get encouragement if we continually seek discouragement. If we look back, generally when we look back, this is people's nature, even Christians. Generally when we look back, we always remember the negative. It takes us photographs or Facebook memories to remember positives. But in our daily lives, we generally remember negatives. Be honest with yourself. Remember, we're renewing reality. Don't you, in your mind, go, oh, I mean, this is a daily thing for me. Ah, oh, I forgot to do that. This is for me. I hope this helps somebody else. Man, I forgot that. My bad. You know what I'm going to do in 2026? God's doing a new thing. Who cares? I forgot what I was supposed to do, and so I'm just going to write a new note. You know what I mean? Move on. This is how bad it is, and some of you people that are as old as me understand this. I write notes to myself, and then I can't remember where I put the note. They say, put it somewhere where you remember. I tried that too, and I still don't remember. You remember? I don't remember. So you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm just going to write a new note. Forgot to feed the dog. Man, he's got 3 or 4 days before he needs anything. He'll be fine. Don't we always focus on the negative? Aren't we? Like, it's kind of like our nature. I don't really care too much about football right now because the Bengals are absolutely terrible. And even though I'm still an Ohio State Buckeye fan, they're absolutely just annoy me. Ohio football pretty much just ruined my whole New Year's. But anyway, you know, you can watch a game, and this is how skeptical people are. You can watch your favorite team or a team you don't like, and they could score 6 touchdowns, but what we remember is the one fumble. What we remember is the one interception. Your quarterback could have had the greatest season in the history of quarterbacks, but you remember that one bad interception. I mean, all you Browns fans, you should get it. Remember the drive when the Broncos whooped y'all? I mean, remember that? Remember that? Say, we're so good, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. You've never been. That's neither here or there. It's just something I wanted to say. Bud, Logan. Anyway. So we've had 37 quarterbacks. None of them have been any good. You're right. But they're still looking for that one. Because this is what sports fans do. Next year is our year. I'm a Bengals fan, and for 43 years I've been going, next year. That's the one. We've gotten close 3 times. Failures. But next year. Still waiting. One of the reasons why I can't say Maranatha is because I would like to see at least one Bengals Super Bowl before the Lord returns. But no, I will take Jesus over the Super Bowl. Hey, can I encourage you to renew reality that if you're sitting here today, that your life is more positive than negative? And that God, that, listen, his mercies are such that his compassions, they fail not. Yeah. And God is sitting here and he says that they're new every morning and great is thy faithfulness. And so your days are still better today. Even if you're sick, even if you're hurting, even if you're desperate, even if it didn't go the way that you wanted to go. You say, I'm old and I'm losing my memory and all these different things. Well, you could have been young and died in a plane crash. Listen, all I'm saying to you is every single thing that God has for you today is better than anything in the past because you can't get that back. And it's better than anything that you know of in the future other than Christ's return because you don't know what the future holds. So we better celebrate this new day that God has given us. We better live in this new day that God has given us every single day of 2026 because we're not promised tomorrow and yesterday is past and there's nothing you can do to change it anyway. I like to hear the young at heart. That's our 55 and over crowd. They're some of the biggest critics of their own food. Now, Brother Brandon, Brother Xavier, and I, we get to go and partake in it, and, you know, this is always a story I'll use, and it's just funny to me, but, like, Miss Dawn was making cookies for her son, but she apparently messed up. So she brought us the cookies that were messed up and sent her son a new batch of the right cookies. Well, the wrong cookies were the best tasting cookies I've ever had in my life. And so we're like, Miss Don, could you mess up some more cookies? You know what I'm talking about? Like, anytime you want to mess up some more cookies, holler at your boy. You know where to find us. Amen. We'll be at 777 East Trotwood Boulevard between 8 and 4. And if you'd like to drop those off, I mean, Brother Brandon, were they, those nasty cookies were pretty good, weren't they? Amen. Brother Xavier, those nasty cookies were pretty good, weren't they? Amen. I mean, listen, anytime you want to mess up cookies, go ahead and bring them to us, baby. We will eat those. She was critical of herself. She said, I got to throw out, this is what she said, I got to get rid of this old batch and make a new batch for my son. This is what we said. I wonder what the new ones taste like. Amen. And then she made us some of those. And oh boy. Miss Bev, she makes all these desserts for Young at Hearts. And she'd be like, it's a new recipe. I don't know if it's any good. Every single time. I'm not sure. I think I put a little too much sugar in this. And we're like, this is the best thing I've ever had in my life. Like, put some more on my plate. This is delicious. How can we get some more of this? Like, wow, do we have a bowl? Can you put some of this in my office? Like, what? She's like, I don't know. This may have had too much applesauce. And we're like, I don't even taste apple. It's like, you know, we're like our biggest critics, aren't we? And I'm teasing those ladies, but they really do make these fabulous desserts and things like that. And I know that's because they want to get it right. And sometimes as Christians, we're like so hard on ourselves. I wish I would have raised my kids a little different. Oh, can I tell you something? If your kids went wayward and you raised them, once they got to a certain age, it's not your fault anymore. They're grown up. They get to make their own decisions. You stop holding that weight on yourself. If they're messed up, it's because they're messed up. My kids, my grown kids, if they go a different way, they were raised up the way that we chose to raise them up. We did the very best we could with what we got. And guess what? They know right from wrong. And if they choose wrong, that's on them. That's not on you. You say people grow up in church and people are in Sunday school and people still get out and still act a fool. And guess what? You can only do the best with what you've got. And people get to make their own decisions. That's why I don't take credit for my children. People say, oh, your children are so good. Well, my grown children, they get to do what they want. They're under no control of mine. They get to do what they want to do. And who they are is because that's who they want to be. But then we have to renew this reality, but we have to recognize rescue. Verse 19. Watch this. He says, shall ye not know it? Shall ye not know it? Look at Hebrews 5:14 with me for a moment. Hebrews 5:14. Shall ye not know it? Now, I want you to get this because in the King James language, it kind of seems like it's written backwards. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised discern both good and evil. Discernment is not a spiritual gift, but I think it's a spiritual practice that we can continue to improve upon. Discernment in the spiritual sense means to be able to recognize something and then apply wisdom to it. Recognize something and then apply wisdom to it. And so in the Bible, will you discern the spirit, essentially, he's saying here. Shall you not know it? So Jesus Christ wants to rescue you from remembering the former things. Jesus Christ wants to rescue you from considering, from applying old stuff that doesn't matter anymore. Jesus Christ wants to rescue you from an old reality and bring you into a new reality. I didn't put the verse down, but he literally says this in verse 20. This is how good God's rescue is. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall know forth my praise. You know what God says? He says, even animals are praising me because there's water to drink. This is a ridiculous illustration, but it's the best I've got. I know I use them all the time, but my life is pretty boring, and he's an interesting part of it. My little dog can have clean, filtered water because he's bougie. All throughout the house. He has two bowls. He has a bowl that's so big he could sit in it. He's only 13 pounds and he's got a bowl that's this big. And we're like, why is his bowl so gigantic? We don't know. It's what he's got. He'll drink that water and he loves that water. But if you take him outside and there's a puddle of dirty rainwater, he will act like that's the best water he's ever lapped up in his life. Also, if you sit root beer or eggnog or orange juice on the ground that's open, he'll also drink that as well because that's how he is. But I say to him, why would you drink the dirty puddle water when you've got great filtered water inside? You know why? Because this dog, he's not able to discern. He's not given the spirit. He's not able to discern the difference between it. He just knows that it's water because that's how God's made him. Because if he was just a wild beast and he was just out there, the animals go for hundreds of miles in the safari, in safari land, in the desert. They go for hundreds of miles just trying to find a watering hole. And it doesn't matter what kind of water it is. It can just be a little ditch that has this much water. And if it will quench their thirst or give them a little dip on their tongue, they will go to that and they're able to discern. Listen to me. Even the rich man who died and went to hell was looking for just a dip of water to be put on his tongue. Even though he was already in hell, at that point he could discern spiritually that I'm never going to get any water to cool my tongue. Here's the cool thing for you and I. Jesus Christ is the living water. And he offers it freely to anyone who would come. You don't need a ladle. You don't need a bottle. You don't need a pot. You don't need a fountain. All you need to do is repent and believe. And those waters will flow through your belly like rivers of living water. And you'll have that all the days of your life. And those of us who are saved already have that. And God says, will you just recognize that you have the living water? You don't have to drink out of a ditch. You don't have to go and search thousands of miles away for just a little bit of water. You have the living water right here, right now. Just discern. Just be able to look and say, you know what? God, you have rescued me from all those past transgressions. You have rescued me from my past thoughts. You have rescued me from all my past failures. You have rescued because you are the living water. And he says, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Now, I believe, Jesus, if you drank of this water, why are you thirsting after something that's in the past when he says you got the water that you want, that you need right here? I know Brother Logan feels me on this because we're kind of the same in this. But like, I am kind of a water snob, and I like to try different waters. Core water, Evian, my absolute favorite. I know this kind of sounds weird, but Kroger's artesian water is... I'm not really a big Ice Mountain fan. Think it kind of tastes like trash. Dasani kind of tastes soapy to me. You know, I know maybe it's because I'm poor, but you know what? I love just good old-fashioned Kroger water, amen? And when it has the Cincinnati Reds bottle, it tastes different out of there to me, too. It just tastes like a nice summer day with just the coolest, crispest water. I drink that warm, you know, it don't matter to me. But you know... there's different types of water, but there's no water like the living water that Christ provides. And in this new year, I would encourage you highly. We're just setting up this message for the rest of the month, and I don't generally say something like this because it sounds prideful and ridiculous, but I'll say it this way. Hold on to your false teeth, because the rest of the month, we're going in, and I'm excited about what God's doing and the messages God has given me. I don't usually get ahead, as far as ahead as I am right now, but I had a lot of time to read and to write when I was sitting around and over the holidays and things. And I'm really excited because God, he's impacted me through the study of these things, and I'm hoping it will impact you. But can I tell you today, hey, guess what? I don't even care if it's good. Stop worrying about it. Stop living in the past. Stop. Jesus says this, just came to my spirit, brought to my mind. He's like, people don't take new wine and put it into old bottles. People don't take a new piece of cloth and put it on the old garments. It's a big waste of time. It means nothing. Hey, you messed up in 2025? Guess what? God doesn't remember it. Why are you? You're considering things that happened that ought not have happened? Why are you considering it? The only thing God considered is Jesus Christ, and that he commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, you know what? Here's the new reality. Here's where we are. Here's where we are today. I love when people get, you know, I mean, I'm not very political, but people get all upset about, well, somebody got voted in, somebody did this, somebody did that. Guess what? They'll be gone in 4 years, maybe two. And you'll have somebody new to complain about. The one thing I've realized about politics is all my life, somebody's always complained about who was in office. Somebody always mad. Somebody never gets their way. But the same thing that's happened in my lifetime and in your lifetime is they always change. There's always a new day, and they say, it's Inauguration Day, yay! 4 years later, it don't take 6 months before they bashing that person. They said the grocery prices was going to be $2. The gas prices are going to be 55 cents. And you know what I always say about that kind of stuff? People are like, I can't wait till gas gets back to $1.25. It's not going to happen. I don't care who's in office. They say, it's really low right now. Cool. Keep on watching. That's great. Like, I know these young people are like, this is the lowest been in my lifetime. And all those old people are like, I don't even want to fill up my lawnmower. You know what I'm talking about? Let alone a truck. But you know what? I know it'll change again. Why am I holding on to those things? Because God says I'm going to do a new thing, and it's going to spring forth. And when it springs forth, when he brings forth this new thing, that's going to come out and bring you this absolute new opportunity, we ought to take it, hadn't we? Shouldn't we discern it if God gives you a new opportunity? Hey, God's giving you a new relationship. God's giving you a new, we call it a new lease on life. There's no such thing. You get one life to live. YOLO is a lie. You only live once on earth, but you live forever, either in heaven or in hell. So there's no new lease on life. The only new lease on life is to have, as Pastor Randy said at our devotion yesterday, is to have a new name written down in glory. I'm not a very good pet keeper as far as like, you know, fish go. With my dog, I am, but you know, fish, it's like, they're just fish, you know what I mean? Like, when you're a fisherman, you use them for bait and cut their heads off and do all kinds of crazy stuff to fish, you know, when you're fishing. And so, it's not like I have a high regard for these fish, but he's in the nursery, he won't mind me saying it, but my son Grayson is like the fish keeper. Yes. And he has a tank and it has like 60,000 fish in it, and these are live-bearing fish, and they just keep on having new babies. And he loves these fish. If you know my son Grayson, he's a quiet guy, and you may not really ever get a word out of him, but he loves to take care of things. He loves to take care of the fish, the dog, children. That's what he does for a living. He's just a quiet dude that's just going to, but like, he just cares. He wants to make sure that all of his chickens are okay. And he has these fish, and they sit downstairs, and he like meticulous in cleaning this tank, and he sets up his sister stuff and filters here and all these different things. And I don't even know how many fish are. He can tell you how many fish are in there. I can't, but there's like a billion. It's only a 10-gallon tank, and these fish are everywhere. And I'm like, dude, can they breathe? He's like, yeah, they're fine. And he'll go, and he'll set up a chair, and he'll just look at his fish. He'll be staring at his fish and just watching. And we're like, we come home, me and Xavier come home, and we'll go downstairs, and Grayson, we just watch this fish, and we just look at each other like, he's with his babies. He's just... This is what I learned about Grayson. Like, you would think somebody like that would be like all upset when one dies. This reminded me of what we should be like. A couple weeks ago, he went downstairs, and when I was dead, he was like, sorry, I got plenty. And I was like, Grayson? Like, I thought he was going to have a funeral. I thought he was going to cry. He was like, I got plenty. You know what? We need to have that attitude about the past days. Look at God, we're like, psh. Something went bad. I got plenty. A lot more where that came from. Isn't that the truth about our lives? I had one loss, but God's got a lot more victory. Amen. Today I want to live and stand in the victories of God every single day. I want to live in the conquered grave, the conquered victory over death, the conquered victory over sin, past, present, or future. I want to live in that today. Be encouraged in that today, because God says, I'm going to do a new thing. And here's the cool thing about us. When he was talking to Isaiah, when Isaiah was talking, he was saying, the Savior's coming. That's the new thing. Here's a cool thing for us. When God says he'll do a new thing for us, he means the Savior's coming again. I don't know the day or the hour, but I know he's coming. And so I look forward to that blessed hope. So today could be the day. Wouldn't you be ashamed of yourself if today you were living in the past and Jesus said, today's the day that we're going to meet? You've been mad all day and all of a sudden Jesus raptures you home. He'd be like, hey, how was your day? I was thinking about back in 97. Jesus is like, didn't I tell y'all you don't have to do that? My mom used to say this, and it's not really good advice, but for this illustration it is, because sometimes you can't, but my mom would say, you need to move on. Me and my sister be fighting, you two need to move on. Be mad at a coach, you need to move on. Mad at a teacher, you need to move on. Mad at my job, you need to move on. It was my mom's not so subtle way of saying, get over it. 2025, get over it. You're not gonna get it back. But I know this, 2026, let's get on with it and enjoy it every single day. Heads are bowed, eyes.